Well, if you've been following us, we've been going through 1 Samuel. You, along with myself, have probably come to realise that Israel really need a break. So they do. It has been hard going for Israel. The Philistines have been a continual problem for them. The Israelites, or the Philistines, they've just been a real pain for Israel, and they need a break, and that's a break we believe is about to come. It's going to come from the Lord, and it's going to come through Samuel, because as we've read here in chapter 7, the Lord through Samuel promises the Israelites deliverance. Look at the end of verse 3. Samuel says to Israel, "He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." What a wonderful promise to this people who have suffered so much at the hands of the Philistines. The Philistines have defeated them in battle. The Philistines have captured the ark. The Philistines have just tortured them for quite some time now. And at last, here is a promise of deliverance from the Lord brought through Samuel. He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. And this morning, friends, we need to remind ourselves that God is the God of deliverance. So he is. And maybe you need to hear that this morning, because maybe where you are at this morning, you need a break. I don't mean you need a holiday. You might need that. But you need a break from it all. It's just been battle after battle, struggle after struggle. I want to encourage you by reminding you that he is the God of deliverance. We see it here. Samuel says to this people who have suffered so much, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Think of what it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It says, "No temptation or no trial has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, or with the trial, will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Wonderful promise of deliverance. Doesn't say we won't face trials and temptation, but it says that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. And he will also make a way of escape when you are suffering these trials and temptation. And so if you find yourself in that place this morning where you feel like the Israelites, you just need a break. It's been one thing after another. Remember how God promised to deliver Israel from the Philistines through Samuel. Remember he said to the Corinthians, he will not allow you to be tempted above what you can bear, but he will provide a way of escape. The promise of deliverance. We see that throughout the Psalms as well. I love that Psalm where it says, "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness." Again, the promise of deliverance. Hold on to that this morning if you find yourself in that place where you're in need of being delivered at the moment. But I want us to look at the path to deliverance. The path to deliverance. What does the path to deliverance look like? What did it look like for God's people Israel? God said he was going to deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. But how would he do it? How would it happen? What path would they have to walk in order to be delivered? Let's look at the path of deliverance. We'll see that at the end they were delivered. And hopefully we've already seen that through our reading this morning. But let's walk the path of deliverance this morning. Where does the path of deliverance begin? Well, for Israel, it began with them desiring God. Verse 2. So it was that the ark remained at Kirjath-Jearim a long time. Remember, the Philistines captured the ark. They took it away, but then they brought it back. And it's now back in Israel. It says the ark remained in Israel in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. Then listen, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. All the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. All that means is that Israel now were hungering for God. They were longing for God now. They've learned their lesson. They have gone through difficult times. A lot of it has been their own doing. They have forsaken God and His word. But my, what a change. It says all the house of Israel lamented after God. They're now desiring God. They're now hungering for God. That's where the path to deliverance begins. Whenever we desire God, whenever we hunger and thirst after God, whenever we come to where the psalmist was in Psalm 42, and he says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is where the path to deliverance begins. It begins when we start to desire God and we long and we yearn for God. We see and we hear Paul yearning for God in Philippians 3. He just says that I might know Him. That I might know Him. This is where deliverance begins. When we start to desire God. When we yearn and we hunger for God. Because as we read in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be filled. This is where we start this morning, desiring God, yearning and hungering for God. But you may see the problem as I see the problem this morning. That's okay. But what about when we don't desire God? Used to be a book in the library at the back. I think it's maybe in our house at the moment. And it was just entitled, When I Don't Desire God. When I Don't Desire God. How do you desire God when you don't desire God? How do you do that? How do you start desiring God again? Will you start desiring God by desiring God? By recognizing who God is. And by going against everything within yourself that doesn't want to desire God. By going against that flow and just desiring God and telling God we want Him and we love Him and we need Him. And at the beginning, it will feel very superficial. It will feel awkward. Because in our hearts we will know that deep down, I don't really want God. But that's when we need to desire God. It may seem and feel even artificial to begin with. But desire Him anyway. Tell Him you want Him. Get before Him, spend time with Him. Tell Him you're struggling to desire Him. And gradually more and more you will begin to desire Him. That's where the path started for them. Started by them desiring God. It says, Israel lamented after the Lord. But then Samuel comes and he tells them how they're going to be delivered. He tells them what they need to do in order to be delivered. And we find the instructions in verse 3. He promises them at the end of verse 3, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. But before he tells them that, he gives them instructions, what they need to do. They need to, first of all, he says, return to God. Verse 3, Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. This is part of the path to deliverance. He says, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Friends, the path to deliverance involves returning to God sometimes, all the time. Returning to God. You see, Israel had gone away from God. They had forsaken God. They had forsaken his word. It was clear to see that they'd gone so far away from God. And Samuel says, return to God and he will deliver you. That word return, we could use another word instead of it. We could use the word repent. Same idea. Return or repent. And you see, in order to return to God, there's a few things we need to do. The first thing we need to do is stop where we are. Stop where we are. That's what Israel needed to do. They needed to stop right where they are. They needed to realize they were going away from God. And in order for them to be able to return to God, they must stop where they are. And if we're to return to God, when we recognize those times in our lives when we've gone away from God, we've got to stop and not keep on going. We've got to stop and then we've got to turn around. So we have. It's basically repentance. And we see them doing it in verse 6. Because it says there, so they gathered together at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. That was critical. That was crucial. They stop. They come to Mizpah. And they say, we have sinned against the Lord. What are they doing? They're returning to God. They're stopping. They're turning around. They're saying, Lord, we have sinned against you. That was all part of the path to deliverance. Yes, it started with them desiring God. But it involved them returning to God. It involved them stopping where they were. It involved them turning around, repenting, and saying, we have sinned against the Lord. And friends, at times in our lives, we may find ourselves where the Israelites find themselves, in a bad place. A bad place spiritually. And very often, if we are to know deliverance from that place, we need to stop, we need to turn, we need to repent of our sin, and we need to come back to God. But then Samuel told them to do something else in verse 3 and 4. He says, verse 3, if you return to the Lord, I will deliver you. And he says, and put away the foreign gods. Put away the foreign gods. They were not only to return to God, but they were to remove the other gods in their lives. They were to remove. He says, put away the foreign gods, and then he will deliver you. You see, they had other gods in their lives. We see in verse 4 what other gods they had in their lives. They had the god of Baal and the Ashtaroths. These were Canaanite nature gods. Baal was a fertility god. Ashtaroth was the goddess of love and of war. And they had these gods in their lives. And Samuel says, he says, God will deliver you from the Philistines. But you must return. to him. You must put away these other gods. You must get rid of the Baals, get rid of the Ashtaroths, these foreign gods that are not gods at all. And we see they do that in verse 4. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths and served the Lord only. You know, sometimes the path to deliverance is not an easy path. It's a costly path. It demands so much of us at times. For the Israelites, they had to return to God. They had to confess their sin. They had to put away the foreign God. Put away the foreign God. We may not have the Baals, we may not have the Ashtaroths today in our lives. We have other gods at times. We have other gods. There'll be some common to us all. But there will be others that are maybe more specific to you and others more specific to me. But friends, if we're to know deliverance, if we're to know that true freedom, the true blessing of knowing God and walking with God and experiencing what he wants us to experience, we have to remove the other gods from our lives. It's a great challenge. I find that a great challenge in my own life. To remove the other gods. Whatever those gods are. A god is simply something that takes the place of the true God. Something that occupies us more than the true God. Something that steals our devotion away from the true God. These are the things that we're talking about. That we need to remove. Then he said something else to them in verse 3. He says you need to return to the Lord with all your hearts. You need to put away the foreign gods, the Ashtaroths, from among you. Then he said this. You need to prepare. Prepare your hearts for the Lord. I just love that. That's what attracted me to this passage. He says you need to prepare your heart for God. It's a powerful thought, isn't it? Prepare your heart for God. Sort of the sense that he was saying to these people, you know, God's about to return. God will return to your heart if you will prepare it. Prepare your heart for God to come in again, to live there. How do we do that? Well, there's two things I believe we need to do in order to prepare our hearts for God. Two things we need to do. We need to get rid of the clutter and the rubbish. And we need to open the door of our hearts. We need to open the door. We read in Revelation 3 that God says, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, I'll come in. So I think it makes sense to say that When he says here, you need to prepare your heart for God. Well, one of the things we need to do is we need to open our hearts. Open the door of our hearts. Otherwise, he won't come in. He's the God who says, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, I'll come in. So we need to do that. We need to open the door of our hearts. That's how we prepare our heart for God. But we also need to get rid of the clutter and the rubbish that's in this heart at times. The sins, the other gods. But what order do we do it in? What order do we do it in? Do we open the door first and then deal with the clutter and the rubbish? Or do we deal with the clutter and the rubbish and then open the door? What order do we do it? I think the order's important. What order would you do it in your own house? If you had someone very important coming for dinner today, I'm sure you would get things in order in the house. That's assuming your house is a mess. So it is. But you would get your house in order, wouldn't you? And only then would you open the door. All right? You wouldn't open the door and invite him in and then sort out the mess. That's how we would do it in life. We would sort out the mess and then open the door. But we're to do it the opposite way here. I believe that when it comes to our hearts, we're to open the door, then we're to sort out the mess. And the reason I say that, friends, is because without his help, we'll never sort out the mess. We'll never get rid of the clutter. We'll never get rid of the other gods from our lives. And so if we're trying to clear our hearts out of all this stuff and all this rubbish and all this sin and all these other gods, we're trying to clear all this stuff out, then we're going to open our hearts to God. We'll never do it. Because we can't get rid of this stuff ourselves. What we need to do is we need to open our hearts and say, Lord, it's a mess in here. It's a mess in here. And I can't clear it up myself. Lord, I need you to come in and help me sort it out. So we open the door first, and then with his help, we prepare our hearts. We deal with the clutter and the rubbish, the sins and the other gods that are there. He says, he will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines if you return to him. If you remove the other gods, if you prepare your heart for God. But also, something else the Israelites did here that was so important. They recognized their constant need of God. Their constant need of God. Look at verses 7 and 8. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. There they go again. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hands of the Philistines. An important request from Israel to Samuel. They say, do not cease. Don't stop, Samuel, crying out to God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. At long last, Israel has come to recognize their constant need of God. The Philistines are at them again, and they cry out to Samuel, don't cease to cry out to God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. The path to deliverance, and being able to remain on that path, it requires us to recognize our constant need of God. Our constant daily need of God. It requires us to realize, you know what, we need God when things are a mess in our lives. But it requires us to realize that we need God when things are wonderful in our lives. They recognize their constant need. They said, Samuel, don't cease, don't stop crying out to God for us. For we need him all the time. We need his help all the time. The promise of deliverance, the path to deliverance. And then finally, folks, the deliverance of deliverance. In the end, God did deliver, as he had promised through Samuel. Verses 10 and 11. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day. And he confused them. And they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Beth-Kar. Verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The Lord had promised deliverance. The if they would return, if they would remove those gods, if they would prepare their heart for God, if they would recognize their constant need of God. God had promised deliverance and God delivered it. God delivered it. It says, all the days of Samuel, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines and upon Israel. He's the God who is able to deliver deliverance when he promises. It says in Romans chapter 4, 21, being fully convinced that he who is promised is also able to perform it. It says he who is promised is also able to perform it. He promises deliverance and he's able to deliver it. He who has promised it, he's able to perform it. But more than that, he's more than able to perform it. In Ephesians 3, 20, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Friends, I trust we're encouraged this morning. God is a God who promises deliverance. There is a path to it. So there is, but he's able to deliver. That which he has promised, he is able to do. Let us pray.